Johnson, you're buying up Steve Bach along with Scott Hennin. 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. If you want to pop onto our Facebook or our Twitter account, you can do that. Log in there, and you can get to those places by whatsonyourmindradio.com. Coming up today, we're going to talk with Randy Kreil, Chief of the Wildlife Division, North Dakota Game and Fish Department. A little preview of this weekend's pheasant hunting season. We'll take your calls and we'll see if Randy's got any good secret spots, considering a few of mine got a little waylaid with this snowstorm that we had this past weekend. So kind of interested to see what's happening on the pheasants, but really not a concern as much right now as the agriculture side. We're getting more and more information. A lot of farmers and ranchers really affected, and they've got nowhere to report some of those effects from this massive snowstorm because the federal government shut down. So how do you do that? We're going to dig into that a little bit. So if you have a horror story to tell us about, we'd like to get some of those reports out and spread the word. Also coming up at 10:30, North Dakota Public Service Commissioner Randy Chrisman related to some issues on the Farm Bill and what potentially could be a crisis here in North Dakota as we watch what takes place with elevators. So we'll get a little insight into that. One of the many portfolios that is held by the Public Service Commission is the elevator portfolio, and that one is held by Randy Chrisman. Also, we had some calls earlier this week about rate hikes, and we'll dig into that a little bit as well. I'm Steve Bockett along with Scott Hannon. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning, Steve. I want to start the petition to get Dwayne Johnston reinstated as superintendent for beyond just this school year in Tioga, North Dakota. I tell you, the more I hear about this story, and it's we talked about it yesterday. Tioga Tribune first reported it about an incident last week. The superintendent of the schools in Tioga has resigned, offered his resignation, and the school board has accepted it. Because he brought a gun to school last week on Thursday. The reason he did it was because of threats he'd received from a student who demonstrated behavioral issues in the past and says he didn't enter into the decision lightly. It's his sixth year as superintendent, ninth year with the school district. This guy's got a stellar record, well-liked, runs a good school. And again, this particular incident, as we understand it, has to do with a student notified, well, actually what happened was the superintendent told a student, you're done, you're out, you're expelled. And the student responded with threats, made some hand gestures that indicated a weapon, and the superintendent interpreted that as a threat to be aimed at himself and others, potentially including students. He did notify law enforcement, other folks knew about it, but because he'd been involved in an incident in Montana, he just decided, because he has a permit to carry, to bring a weapon to school the next day. Somebody saw it, reported it to the school board. They called a special meeting, and he has offered his resignation. I'm hoping the community rallies in his support. I hope that starts right here, right now. And maybe, just maybe, Steve, we can actually get the law across the finish line, which was considered and had a significant amount of support, but ultimately rejected because of pushback from, mucky mucks at schools, which I'll never understand, that didn't like the idea of trained folks having guns in schools to protect that resource. I don't know.
There's a little breakdown when you look at this. There's a little bit of a disconnect between larger schools, the more of the urban schools, and the rural schools. And when you run down that line, if you look at some of the resources that the larger schools have, how many times do they have a resource officer from either the police department or the sheriff's department that is available to the school? They have security on grounds. A lot of the smaller schools, they don't have those resources. And that's a big disconnect there.
You're right, and that's one of the reasons he cited in saying, look, law enforcement knew about it, but he was concerned about response times. They got a lot going on. Obviously, Oil Patch is busy, and they're spread thin. This is a small community. So here's the deal. I really think if citizens come to his defense, I think the school board will reconsider. And again, he's offered his resignation here. He's not trying to plead his own case, but I think he did what he did, and for all the right reasons, right? He did it to protect students.
If not a superintendent, or a principal, who should have the ability to carry a gun in a school and protect the school? Because that response time with law enforcement, unless you've got an officer on the grounds, there's some lag time there, and that's a safety issue.
Hopefully, at some point, then we can name a law after this guy. so that he doesn't have to put himself in a horrible position of saying, hey, I don't like my gut telling me what this kid might do. I know it's against the law. I know I've let law enforcement know, but I'm going to do this anyway because I want to protect the school. He was put in a terrible position. I understand it's against the law. I understand you can't sit there and pick and choose which laws you enforce and which ones you don't. By the way, there's no criminal charges being foreseen here because somebody would need to file a complaint. Nobody has. But he has offered his resignation. Should the community rally to his support? That's the question I have for you today at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Tioga, parents of the Tioga School District, this really is in your hands here because the school board obviously would answer to you. And I think we talked a little bit about this yesterday, stories being picked up statewide. I'm just curious what folks think. Studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. is the email address, and again, the phone number, 800-228-0550. Bob in Hillsboro is next up on What's on Your Mind. Good morning, Bob.
Hi, Scott. Hi, Steve. Yeah, thank you for focusing on this issue. It's very important, just as important as the abortion issue. You know, I'm a veteran, and I'm going to tell you, the lag time and the response time for the officers, is substantial enough. One student getting killed is too much, but how many children would lose their lives before the backup gets there? And then when they get there, like an example in Columbine, did you see all the cops and everybody standing outside the school trying to figure out what to do or where the bad guy could be or, how to get in there and do this and that? And while they were outside planning, kids are getting killed. So even when they get there, there's still an extra few minutes because they have to come up with a plan. They don't know where the shooter is in the school. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what they're walking into. We need to have armed guards in our schools. I'm a veteran. I have a full-time job. My wife goes to college. She has a full-time job. I would volunteer my time to do this. It's not about money. It's about lives, and it's about our children's lives. Children in school, they have enough problems dealing with bullies and their grades. And now it's in the news every time you turn around. There's a school shooting. It's all over the news. I mean, I'm sure that the children would even enjoy a little bit of extra safety at the schools. It's just common sense.
Yeah, you bring up a great point on the volunteerism side. You've got parents that volunteer for pretty much everything within the school district. How many retired military or a retired law enforcement would have an opportunity to do some volunteer work or fill in a lot of these schools where law enforcement isn't readily available during the school day, where they don't have that resource officer there.
Bob, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Here's the question, and I'm totally with Bob 100%, but I think the way you ultimately get to that law is to focus on this case and what this superintendent had to do and push back against his resignation because of it. Agree or disagree, you tell us. Kurt and Bismarck, you're next. Kurt, are you there? Kurt, go silent on us. All right, put Kurt on hold, and let's try Lance in Williston. Lance in Williston, you're next on What's on Your Mind.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I just call on, I think this whole situation with superintendent and Tioga has probably opened up another opportunity for us as citizens of this state because, unfortunately, our legislature has been unwilling to do what's right in this situation, and I think it's time that we as citizens take the opportunity that our Constitution gives us, and that is to start an initiated measure and have a measure on the next ballot that allows the citizens to make the decision and take it out of the hands of our legislators. So
Lance,
that's all I have for today.
Lance, I couldn't agree with you more. If we can do an initiated measure on when schools can start, why not do an initiative measure on the safety of our students in those schools. I'm Steve Bakken, along with Scott Hannon. What's on your mind? If you would like to weigh in, Tioga needs to step up here and support Dwayne Johnston, the superintendent, after he's tendered his resignation, and go, you know what? You're too valuable an asset. You're too important to this community. You're too important to these kids. You're the right kind of person that we need in a school district. You're the right kind of person we need keeping our kids safe. We're not going to let you resign. And I think the community needs to step up on this. The school board should not have accepted that resignation, Scott. I agree with you 100%. They should have said no. you did the right thing. You made a judgment call as a superintendent, just as in a principal in a school. That's your job to make judgment calls and make decisions that you deem best for the kids, especially safety being the number one issue when it comes to kids in school. Safety. It's about keeping the kids safe. And, you know, kudos to Dwayne for stepping up and doing that.
Bob in Hillsborough, by the way, I got to put on a point to piggyback on something you said as well regarding just as important as abortion. Think about how the news, you know, shuts down when one of these awful school shootings happen, and it should. It shocks our senses. You know what? So should the ending of innocent life. So I appreciate you mentioning that as well. Back to your calls on this point after this.
What's on your mind? So call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
A word about agriculture from your friends at the North Dakota Farm Bureau. Agriculture is an important industry in North Dakota, and the North Dakota Farm Bureau is important to agriculture. See, Farm Bureau is dedicated to enhancing economic opportunities for their members. They're not just about farming and ranching. Farm Bureau has more than 27,000 members across the state. Folks just like you that are concerned about issues that matter, like our schools, our roads, our safety, and, of course, economic progress. At the North Dakota Farm Bureau, they provide a strong voice on issues that matter to all North Dakota citizens. Farm Bureau also provides their members with a variety of savings opportunities on everything from new and used vehicles to motels and home appliances. We're all in this together, and North Dakota Farm Bureau wants to be there to make sure our economy and agriculture remain strong for generations to come. Find out more about all the North Dakota Farm Bureau has to offer you by going online to ndfb.org. That's ndfb.org. Your state, your future, your Farm Bureau. That's the North Dakota Farm Bureau.
When you're traveling the roads, you always need a good night's rest. For a clean, comfortable, affordable room, Expressway Inn and Suites is simply the best. On business or vacation, quick trip or a special occasion, Expressway Inn and Suites is here for you.
Expressway Inn and Suites of Bismarck. Visit expressway hotels.com.
In North Dakota, water is a precious resource. That's why giving water new life through recycling is important. Learn how North Dakota is using new ways to recycle and conserve water by attending the Garrison Diversion Water Reuse and Recycling Conference, Wednesday, October 16th at the Ramada Plaza Suites and Conference Center in Fargo. It's free, but pre-registration is requested. Register by calling the Garrison Diversion at 701-652-3194. That's 701-652-3194.
Hi, this is Gary Cooper with Midas Resources Gold and Silver. Government shutdown, inept politicians, entitlements, looming Obamacare. The death of the U.S. dollar as the global reserve currency is what nobody wants to acknowledge. We have a debt bubble that cannot be paid and will eventually crash the dollar. If you're concerned about keeping your money, why not consider storing your wealth in gold and silver? Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130. Together we'll discuss your options of buying gold and silver. Again, the global elite have plans for your money, and it doesn't include you. So call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130, and we'll discuss your options of buying precious metals. Also, I can send you information on how you can roll over your IRA or 401k into a precious metal IRA. Again, don't get caught with money in your account when the dollar crashes. Call me, Gary Cooper, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 130.
Defense of common sense, our topic here on What's on Your Mind Today. Randy Crowell talking pheasant hunting. It's the opener this weekend coming up here in a little bit. Randy Chrisman of the Public Service Commission on a concern related to the Farm Bill and grain elevators next hour as well. We want to know what's on your mind. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, or studio at What's on Your Mind Radio.com with Steve Bach, and I'm Scott Hannon. The place of Northern Plains comes to sound off today and every day. Gene in Fargo, you're next on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead, Gene.
Hi, good morning. I'm just calling in regard to the superintendent from Fargo. According to the news, you know, he tendered his resignation that was accepted, but it's in Tioga, but it's not effective until June. Is that correct? So he's going to finish out the school year.
He is. Yes, that's right. That's why I thought it was, yeah, you know, worthy of a discussion to say whether cooler heads ought to prevail here and get this guy to stay on in light of the fact that he made a decision for all the right reasons.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that I grew up in Tioga, you know, many years ago. So, and I haven't been back now probably for 5 years since my mom is no longer living there. But it's a sad state of affairs that this small community has to resort to that. But I think it does. I think he made the right decision. But I don't understand if the school board thought it was so bad that it wasn't his resignation wasn't effective immediately.
Interesting point. Yeah. So, you know,
they're letting them stay on. Are they going to watch him like a hawk, or what are they going to do? Tie his hands?
Yeah, and they put something in his file. I guess they put something in his file over this. I really think his future lies in the hands of the parents, the community members of the folks that go to school there. So that's why I think that this is worthy of a discussion. And maybe
I agree. Thank you for doing that, because there's not a lot of people that want to bring it up.
We're unafraid.
So,
we're unafraid, Gene.
Yep.
Gene, thanks for the phone call. Yeah, let's go to Karen in Fargo. What's on your mind today, Karen?
Karen's in Williston, actually.
Karen in Williston.
Thank you for taking my call. You know, something has been on my mind about having guns in school.
Hey, Karen, can you turn your radio down?
My radio's not on.
Oh, okay. There's a little bit of an echo, so.
About having lethal weapons in school. Has anyone ever thought about using stun guns or some kind of dart gun or something like that as a non-lethal weapon?
Why are you silent, Steve?
Yeah,
you think that's a crazy idea? Karen hung up, but
I don't think it's a crazy idea. But when you're looking at somebody, maybe they're hopped up on drugs, maybe there's some other mitigating factors. Do you know at what level a non-lethal use of force, what level of non-lethal force that you're going to need? I'd really hate somebody coming into a school and shooting up a school or having an incident like that, and then, well, I guess the beanbag didn't work. Maybe I should have used the taser. Well, the taser didn't work, so maybe I should have used the stun gun. I would say, why mess around with that? Meet that with deadly force immediately and mitigate that situation, and then you're not going to have a tragedy or as big a tragedy.
Let's go with what works, what's proven over time. Yeah, Randy in Tioga, first caller right from Tioga today. What do you think about this situation, Randy?
Yeah, I guess I just wanted to comment on that superintendent deal in Tioga there. You know, the only one that's going to win if he does resign is that student that he expelled. You know, that's a win-win for him. So I'm in favor of the superintendent staying there and not let that student win. That's what I have to say, I guess.
And are you hearing that from others, Randy?
What's that?
Are you hearing that from others? What do you sense from folks in the community that are hearing about this story? What do they want to have happen?
Well, I guess I haven't really discussed it with anybody locally, but I just think that would be the right thing to do. You know, he felt threatened, and I just think that student would win if he does resign.
I agree. And I think if there's others that share your viewpoint, especially in that community, it might change. Thanks, Randy. Appreciate the call.
Love to hear from more people in Tioga and find out what the buzz around the community is. Let's go to John in Bismarck. John, what's on your mind today?
All right. In reference to the superintendent, you know, I want to start off by saying I'm a strong Second Amendment supporter, and I don't think what he did was wrong. As far as the way he went about it was wrong. When he brings that gun into a school, in any active shooter situation, the thing that people forget is he's there with that gun. Law enforcement doesn't know who the bad guy is. So he may be putting himself in an opportunity to get hurt.
Well, he had a concealed carry weapon. He obviously, you know, trained, so, you know, knows what he's doing there. He also had tipped law enforcement to this problem. So, I mean, law enforcement's going to know the superintendent, right? So...
Well, you would hope. I mean, maybe in a small town, sure, but say that's Bismarck, North Dakota. Not every officer is going to know the face of the superintendent here in the area.
Well, the caveat on that is first of all, whoever would be carrying a weapon in schools needs to be trained. They just need to be trained.
I agree with you that the training, but that when things happen right now and that weapon needs to be produced to save the lives of other students, what is that individual in the school going to do? Put on some sort of marked vest so that law enforcement knows he's the good guy versus the bad guy? I'm not saying we shouldn't have armed guards and this and that in the schools, but what I'm getting at is this automatic thought process of let's do it and let's do it now. It's not that easy.
John, appreciate the viewpoint. Thanks. Bob Hillsborough, you're next on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead, Bob.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah, listen, I'm a veteran, and I want to just give a couple of responses here real quick to the last two callers. Have we become a nation of men to where we're worried about us getting hurt by the law enforcement? Or are we going to take care of the bad guy and worry about our own safety? That's called being a hero. That's called, you know, putting your life on the line to protect others. That's what this whole thing is about. Now, look, if there's a school shooter, you call 911, somebody calls 911, the other guy addresses the situation, and the 911 call says, hey, the superintendent, for example, is armed and here at the scene, and so we have a good guy on the scene. And when the law enforcement shows up, you lay your gun down, put your hands up. It's that simple, okay? Now, the lady that called there about the non-lethal aspect, bless her heart. Her heart's in the right spot. Nobody wants anyone to get hurt. Good guy, bad guy, kids, anybody. So, but do you really want to get close enough to someone to be able to use a stun gun? That's like you have to touch them with the stun gun. With a taser, you only have a limited amount of distance with that tether, that little electrical line that goes from the dart back to your taser pistol. Number one, number two. You only have one shot with that. You can hit him, and if you hit him, you can zap him, and you can zap him again. But if you miss, you got to drop that cartridge, and you got to pop another taser cartridge in there with another coil with a dart. So the non-lethal aspect, I don't think that is where we need to go with a possible shooter scenario. It needs to be dealt with immediately, and it needs to be dealt with decisively. So those are just my two responses there. I really think that when our children's lives are online, our safety as a protector comes sixth.
I mean, Bob, I couldn't agree with you more. We're up against the break. John, when we come back, and Randy Kreil up next on KFIRE 550 and What's on Your Mind.
Northern Plains, this is What's on Your Mind. Back to more of your calls straight ahead.
Hunt with Heroes. This doesn't open. A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, Saturday, October 12th, the Zeeland Project for Wounded Warriors. A very special day in Zeeland, North Dakota, honoring our soldiers. The day kicks off with a pheasant hunt at 8 a.m., followed by an adult and youth trap shoot tournament at 2, with great prizes including shotgun for the top prize. Refuel at 5 at an old-fashioned hog roast and relax at the Freedom Concert, featuring Nashville recording artists Michael Lust and Morgan Seymour. Purchase a raffle ticket for your chance to win a one-of-a-kind guitar signed by Loretta Lynn, Randy Travis, and more, or bid on a variety of silent auction items. The Zeeland Project for Wounded Warriors. Advance tickets are only $20 and available at the Quencher and Hag, the last resort in Zeeland, or online now at StopSmellNow.com, or call 701-851-0023. Tickets available day of the event at the Zeeland City Hall, too. All proceeds benefit the Wounded Warrior families. Mark your calendars, Saturday, October 12th. Spend the day at a hero's hunt in Zeeland, North Dakota, for this pheasant opener.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440. 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled T-E-R-A-G-A-N-I-X.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
This is What's On Your Mind with Steve Brockett. I'm Scott Hennon. We'll check with Randy Crile, North Dakota Game and Fish. Talk about the pheasant opener this weekend and how the numbers are looking. And any questions you might have coming up in a moment. Let's get John in Bismarck here, who's been waiting to weigh in on the topic at hand. John, you're next on What's On Your Mind.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. If I could meet this man in person, I'd shake his hand. I guess this, to me, is kind of decides whether North Dakota is the North Dakota that I've known since 1980, that people are self-sufficient and take care of themselves. And I agree, law enforcement can't be there all the time. They don't have the resources, whatever. And to the lady that talked about the non-lethal thing, I just wonder if she's ever heard the expression, never bring a knife to a gunfight.
John, you bring up a great point, and I couldn't agree with you more, just for the simple fact that you don't know to what degree of non-lethal force you're going to need. In the meantime, you become a casualty yourself in a situation like that. So thanks for the phone call. Let's move on to our guest now, Randy Crile, Chief of the Wildlife Division at the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Randy, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks, Steve. How are you today?
I am just fine. Well, Storm Atlas, I guess they're calling it now, kind of waylaid a little bit of the pheasant expectations for southwestern North Dakota. Also, South Dakota got hammered as well with this storm. Before we get to maybe some storm ramifications, what was the pheasant scenario setting up for this fall?
Well, we already were looking at a decrease in the number of pheasants in the state. Since 2007 until last year, our overall harvest had dropped 30%, and that's 300,000 birds. You know, that gets to be a lot of birds. And this year we were looking at a statewide 30 to 40% decrease in pheasant numbers because of the cold, wet spring and the continuing loss of habitat that we've discussed on your show before. And the intensity of loss of habitat is really increasing. But then you throw this storm on top of it. The Southwest actually was looking the best of the state, but this storm that hit is not going to be helpful to birds. We've got some anecdotal reports of losses of birds. You know, if it's killing cows, I'm sure it's not doing pheasants that get caught in bad spots any favors either. And then you have the added complications that a lot of these people are trying to put their lives back together and, you know, and get the power back on and get the roads back in decent shape. And then the forecast calls for 2 inches of rain over the same area between now and Saturday morning. And so it's going to be kind of a messy situation in the Southwest. And we're putting out a news release today reminding, pheasant hunters to be aware of the situation, call ahead and talk to landowners where they typically hunt. Most of western North Dakota, is privately owned, and so a lot of people have contacts with private landowners. Call ahead and see if they're ready and able to host pheasant hunters this weekend and make sure that that's going to be okay. And if they do go out there, be very careful off of main roads, and not to try to rut up prairie trails and some of the side roads and those sorts of things. The other complicating factor is that a lot of this snow laid over a lot of the cover. Now, we've seen this happen before where grass and cattails and brush and things like that have been kind of laid over by snow, and given enough time and the right conditions, it can pop back up and still be good pheasant hunting cover. But I don't know if enough time has passed for that to happen. It's just not what we needed for the pheasant opener for a variety of reasons. But we'll see what happens come Monday. The only upside is it probably put an end to our EHD problem out there.
Explain that. Explain the EHD problem and how this would alleviate that for the deer hunters.
The EHD is spread by biting midges and something, and you know, the cold weather and the snow and stuff. And they breed in like mud flats and those sorts of things. Will probably kill off a lot of those midges, and so maybe the EHD outbreak will have run its course, and that'll be at least one positive out of this. But man, if you live in southwest North Dakota, there was a lot of negatives.
We have an email question. Randy Crowell, by the way, our guest, North Dakota Game and Fish, heading into the pheasant opener weekend. Any questions you have about that or waterfall season that's now open? Anything? Welcome. 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, or studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. This email came in and says, please ask Randy when the waterfall production areas are going to be opened up to hunting. The government shutdown has closed them down to hunting. What a bunch of stupidity at its highest. Duck hunters have been banned from these areas, and now pheasant hunters will be denied on these areas.
We've been dealing with that. In fact, we just had a meeting this morning again with our director about that issue. Most federal lands in North Dakota that aren't gated or part of a established facility, like a campground or something like that, that are administered by the U.S. Forest Service, the Bureau of Land Management, the Corps of Engineers, or the Bureau of Reclamation, are still open for public hunting this weekend. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has made a determination that during the government shutdown that their refuges, their refuge system would be closed. Well, the refuge system also includes the waterfall production areas, and there's 288,000 acres of those that are typically open for hunters to hunt upland game, waterfall, and even big game. And our department disagrees with that directive. We wish they wouldn't have made that decision. Our wardens do not have the authority or to enforce such a federal directive, and our director continues to try to get the director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to reverse that decision.
There's a follow-up here to the email as well, questioning why are we using our game wardens to chase hunters off of those production areas?
We are not.
Feds police their. Okay, he said, let the feds police their own areas. I would think North Dakota game wardens have better things to do than police the feds' waterfall production areas. Is there a fine for being on these areas during the government shutdown?
Let's make this one thing absolutely perfectly clear. Our wardens are not, the State Game and Fish Department wardens are not enforcing that federal directive. So I don't know where this person got that information, but that's not happening because we do not have the authority to do so. Any policing of those areas would have to be done by federal employees, not by State Game and Fish game wardens. So if somebody told them that, that was erroneous, and that's not true. Is there a fine? We don't know, because it's not our directive. It's not even a law. It's more of a directive for them to do this. And so we have no idea what a fine would be or anything like that. So
I'm kind of curious. So what would be the reason for the directive? I mean, in other words, why would you close it? What would they normally be doing that they can't do during the government shutdown?
Well, one of the things that we understand is if you have a facility that has infrastructure that needs protection and needs to be patrolled, like a campground or a refuge headquarters or something like that, we can understand that closing those areas, and that's what other agencies have done. But, you know, if you have 160 acres in the middle of Sheridan County that has fence signs on the fence post and a barbed wire fence, and that's the only facility that's there, we don't see the need to close that, but they made the decision to do so. And like I said, we disagree with that, and our director has been working with people in Washington all week trying to get them to change that decision. It's all tied to this mess in Washington dealing with the government shutdown, and there are some inconsistencies between agencies and how they're looking at this. And that's one of the questions that our director continues to ask is, why are all these other agencies allowing non-developed areas to be used for hunting and fishing, legitimate hunting and fishing purposes, but WPAs are not? And so he's still working on getting an answer to that question.
If you have a comment or a question for Randy Crowell, Chief of the Wildlife Division at the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, you can give him weigh in at 701-258-0550, 1-800-228-0550. Scott and Center, what's on your mind today?
I think that the shutdown of these lands and stuff, and he's saying he doesn't, you know, have any control over it. But also I get that he doesn't want any control over it, so I commend him for that. But I do have a question for him. Does he belong to Oath Keepers? As a person of authority over a lot of people, Oath Keepers, I think anybody, police, sheriffs, game wardens, they take an oath to the Constitution. I believe it'd be in our best interest if they did belong to Oath Keepers. And going to the hunting on these lands and stuff, do it. If there ever was a place for civil disobedience, that's what needs to happen. The federal government does not own these land. We, the people. My father fought in the Korean War. I had cousins that died in Vietnam. And I had a best friend's son that died over in the Middle East. That's why we own these lands. Blood and treasure has been spilled for them. And this is a time for us to ignore these directives.
Scott, thanks for the phone call.
Yeah.
I am not a licensed law enforcement officer, and I'm not even familiar with what Oath Keepers is. I have no clue. I can't even answer that question. What I do know is that as a employee of the Game and Fish Department, our job is to try to encourage people to participate in hunting in the outdoors. We can't certainly condone civil disobedience. I don't know that that would be a responsible action on our part, and we're not doing that. But all we're saying is that our wardens do not have the legal authority to enforce this directive, and they won't be.
Dan Streeter for Randy Crowell. Go ahead with your question, Dan.
Hey, Randy, how's it going?
We've had better weeks.
Yeah, I have a question. Is over here, there's some plot land. It's posted
yes, sir.
Plot, and 20 feet in front of it, somebody posted private property, no trespassing. I mean, within 20 feet of the plot land. I don't get that. But on one side of the ditch, it says private property. On the other side of the ditch, it says plot.
Well, it would depend on the individual site. Now, there's a chance that that plot tract expired on September 30th because it was a CRP tract. There's also a chance somebody's playing games. My suggestion to you is to contact our Jamestown office and ask for Renee. She's our private lands biologist. Tell her the tract of land that you're talking about, and she can give you an exact answer on whether or not it is in plots, or if it's coming out of plots, or if somebody's playing games. And that's the best thing you can do. Go right to her, and if she's not there, they can give you her cell phone number, and she can tell you the exact status of that individual piece of property.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate the call. More coming up with Randy Crowell, North Dakota Game and Fish, after the break. More of your calls welcome.
You're listening to the program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind? 800-228-0550.
Hey, Scott Hanlon with a word about longevity and some research that led me to this company. Research that suggests the soils we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and to be healthy. Connect that with the best vitamin and mineral company out there, and you're going to find Longevity. The Longevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need. Now, once you have that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. Lose weight in a short period of time simply by getting the vitamins and minerals you need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. FlagFamily.com Longevity Link is the place you can start. Order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement and get started with Longevity. You've heard the ads. You've heard the research. Now it's time to begin anew. FlagFamily.com Longevity Link. Truckers, if you're headed for the Bakken, remember the best truck wash in the Bakken is the Hurricane Truck Wash. And Anthony is on the phone to tell us why the Hurricane's the best. Anthony, deep cleaning process means you do it better than anybody else, right?
We sure do. We specialize in the Bakken mud. Something we've learned since we've been in North Dakota is that this mud is harder than it is anywhere else in the world. We developed a process in order to cut that. Not only do we have a great cleaning process, we also have a great lounge for our customers. We want you guys to come in, relax, see our facility, see what makes us the best. Not only that you leave here with a clean truck, we have great personality. We want you to know that we appreciate your business, and we're showing you that by giving you free food, free drinks, a good lounge, free Wi-Fi, and we also have a shower facility that you can use anytime.
Mention you heard this ad on the radio. Get a free engine wash plus the free VIP access as well with all the goodies and, of course, local shuttle service, too, so it's a great way to go. South of the Senex, or look for the signs off Highway 8 at Stanley, North Dakota, the Hurricane Truck Wash, the best of the best. Tell them you heard it on the radio. Get a great deal. The Hurricane Truck Wash, Stanley, North Dakota.
Time and time again.
You need to come here and help us. We need assistance. Please.
Those we should be able to depend on let us down.
Federal and state and local officials saying help is on the way. Well, the folks here in Bell Harbor say show me.
Don't depend on the government to save you. Take action now so that you're prepared for the next disaster with MyPatriotSupply.com. Get the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Call 866-229-0927.
We are hurting down here, and we need help immediately.
Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Beep. This is an emergency essentials sale. This month only at Emergency Essentials, get 41% off freeze-dried chicken with a 25-year shelf life for only $24.99 while supplies last. During our October sale, 55-gallon water barrels are only $72.99. Our 12-can baking combo, valued at over $160, is now only $109.99. That's 32% off. Call Emergency Essentials at 800-999-1863 today or visit BePrepared.com. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
Are you someone who forges your own trail? Are you a pioneer with the need to homestead your self-reliant entrepreneur spirit? If so, RF Bunker has a franchise opportunity for you. RF Bunker is the fastest growing emergency and survival retail store in the United States. RF Bunker franchise opportunities are leading the way for business-minded heroes seeking adventure in owning and operating their own emergency supply and survival store. Visit rfbunker.com or call 866-623-2932. This offer is not being directed to any resident of the register-required states.
It's time for another North Dakota Farm Bureau Ag Minute. Why do farmers do what they do? That's the questions you've asked. Don from the North Dakota Farm Bureau is here to answer your questions.
Don, why do so many farmers think factory farms are okay?
Most farmers don't even use the words factory farm. It is most often used by people who want to alarm others about the methods used in farming and ranching that they don't agree with. Truth be told, most American farms are family farmers, about 97%. And those 97% supply 86% of all U.S. ag products sold. One perfect example of a mislabeled factory farm is Feedyard foodie blogger Ann Burkholder of Nebraska. You can find a link to her factory farmer or faithful farmer post at ndfb.org/iamagriculture.
Thanks, Don. We want to know what questions you have about agriculture and why farmers do what they do. Submit your questions by going to ndfb.org and clicking on the Contact Us link at the top of the page. That's today's What's on Your Mind Ag Minute, brought to you by the North Dakota Farm Bureau.
We're Steve Bach and I'm Scott Handel. This is What's on Your Mind. Randy Crowell, North Dakota Game and Fish with us. 800-228-0550-701-258-0550. Any questions or comments, welcome for them. We're talking about the pheasant opener this weekend and anything else on your mind related to hunting and fishing with our friends from the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. Randy, given the fact that the Southwest was looking the best until the blizzard impacts, is there another particular area that you see a little silver lining as far as the pheasant population at all as you look at the map and the numbers?
No. No, not really. This is going to be a tough year for pheasant hunters. Over the last 20 years, we've been spoiled as a state, both resident and our visitors from out of state that come and participate in pheasant hunting in North Dakota. And what we've seen with the tough winters of 08, 09, and 10, and the loss of habitat and the decrease in number of birds, and then the cold, wet spring, doesn't paint a very rosy picture, just trying to be honest with people about what's out there. Now, a lot of people are still going to go pheasant hunting. I know I am, and I'm going to put on a lot of miles on my boots and with my dog, and we're going to enjoy the outdoors and meet some nice landowners and maybe find a few birds. And people just need to adjust their expectations. Now, there'll be some people that'll walk into a spot and find a couple broods of pheasants and shoot a limit of birds relatively easily, and they're going to go, what are those guys talking about? But on a statewide basis across the pheasant range, people are going to see fewer birds and fewer places to hunt. And so people are going to have to adjust their expectations, because we like to say, at least in our business, expectations are everything. If we came out and told people, oh, hey, nothing to worry about, there's pheasants under every bush, and this weather didn't have any problem, and you're going to go out and have no problem getting your birds, that wouldn't be being honest with people. And so we want to try to be honest with people, but we also want to encourage them to continue the hunting tradition and just realize it may not be as easy as it was in previous years.
You know, in a year like this, in a situation like this, this just puts the exclamation point on the fact that you need those relationships with the landowners more than ever before. But you need to be cognizant when you're out there, like you mentioned earlier, talk to the landowners, find out which roads you shouldn't be on right now with those wet conditions, find out where they really got pounded with some of this weather conditions, and avoid those areas because they're still trying to recover. So those landowners are also the ones that are out there every day and will point you in the direction, if you have those relationships, where there might be a few more birds. Because the one thing I've noted this year, it seems like there's more pockets of birds. If you get into birds, you're going to get into birds, but overall you're just not going to get into the numbers that we've had in the past.
Right, and I think I wouldn't disagree with you a bit. One of the things to keep in mind is that there's still power crews out there working along the roads where the power lines are, trying to get power restored to people, and you don't want to get in their way. And frankly, there's going to be people probably driving cattle home that got moved in the storm down some of these township and county roads, and you don't want to get in their way either. And so just be very, very vigilant when you're out there about what's going on. And slow down, take it easy, don't make any bad decisions. Understand that people in the area where the storm hit, they're under a lot of stress, and they've got a lot of other things to worry about other than pheasant hunting. And so if everybody just keeps a cool head and makes good decisions, I think everything will be fine. It's just one of those weird years where there's a lot of things that kind of came together all at the wrong time, and people are just going to have to be sensible. I think that's the best thing we can say.
One emailer says it's darn tough to build a relationship with a landowner 300 miles away with gas over $3 a gallon. But obviously, do what you can do. And then, as you said earlier, once that relationship is established, it's as simple as a call to say, hey, you ready for us? And just staying in touch, right, Randy?
Well, you know, North Dakota is over 90% privately owned, and it's always been a state where that if you're going to have access to good hunting opportunities, you're going to have to work hard at talking and building relationships with landowners. And realize this is opening weekend of pheasant season. They may have friends and family that are coming back, and they may tell you no, but they might tell you yes in the third week of November or the end of October. Who knows? And it can all change from year to year to year. And so, and then whatever conditions may be like. But most landowners that I've talked to in the last 3 years, as a Joe Blow private citizen out hunting, have been wonderful. Our Christmas card list has tripled over the last 3 years, my wife and I, and we've met a lot of nice landowners. And we've been told no sometimes, but it was never in a real negative way. It was for a logical reason, and we understand that, and that's fine. But you do need to build those relationships with landowners, and you need to make good decisions when you're out in the field. You know, don't clean your birds next to somebody's approach. Just don't do stupid things. Be cognizant. Don't throw your McDonald's wrappers out the window. Don't do those kinds of things, and everything will be fine.
Randy, we're up against the break in 10 seconds. Where's your honey hole? Where are you heading this weekend?
You know, my wife and I were going to go camping this Friday night, and she just looked at the weather forecast. She said, we may rethink our plans. I actually may go duck hunting Saturday morning.
Thank you, Randy. Randy Crowell, Game and Fish Department. It's What's in Your Mind with Scott and Steve when we come back.
Welcome to Soybean Minute with Diana Biedelsbacher.
In collaboration with South Dakota and Minnesota, the North Dakota Soybean Council is engaged in a project designed to change the way soybean buyers define protein quality. For many years, crude protein has been the conventional measure of soybean protein quality. Yet soybean farmers in our region have lower crude protein levels due to environmental conditions. Careful analysis through several years of research has shown that the protein quality of northern soybeans is much better thanks to their higher concentrations of essential amino acids. Thanks to your checkoff dollars, we are able to conduct this research and educate international buyers on the fact that amino acid content is the more complete and accurate indicator of soybean feeding value. This will ultimately lead to increased market share and higher returns to soybean farmers in this region.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
It's time for a home security quiz. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $30? Yes, it's fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. To get your fake TV for only $29.95 with free shipping, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.